Three, two, one. It's Shazam! The podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Carissa, and...
we have so many numbers coming at you.
Yep, it's a numbers episode, but not in a boring way.
Don't fall asleep. Okay, so, hi, Carissa, how are you?
I am in your house. Reunion episode.
Do you know what's great about that, though, is that not only are you in my house, but I'm in my house.
That's amazing.
We did it!
Yes, I really enjoyed the week that I was here and living in your home over Christmas when you had never been in your home.
I would love to say that I also enjoyed that, but I can't. Because I wasn't here, but I did enjoy what I was doing. So how has...
You definitely enjoyed it because I sent you photos of Bowie in your home every single day.
I did really appreciate that.
Bowie is the dog.
It's good to get proof of life.
Yeah.
Bowie is my dog. We are not talking about David Bowie, which we realize a couple of people have had to ask us about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. He is my dog. Bowie
is the dog.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're here in the same location, and I'm really excited about this episode. But before we get into that, Kayla, what have you been doing lately other than being in your home?
I have been really enjoying being home. I don't remember if I mentioned the actual numbers in our last episode, because I think I was still in the middle of this leg of the Tour of Champions. But in Toronto alone, which was just 17 days of shows, we did 41 shows. So it was really great. I think it's the first time since the tour, that since I joined Champions, that I haven't been incredibly sad to go home. I think I just had like magic show overload in the best possible way. It just was time to sort of take a break. But of course I came home. Well, I stayed for a day, did a lecture for the Toronto IBM Ring, which was awesome. I had so much fun. Got to see friends, great conversation. And then came home, did a show here. And then I've taken a little bit of a break where I haven't really paid attention to a magic prop or anything magic related that isn't Shazam. Since getting home on January 8th and then doing the show on the 9th. So since January 10th, I've taken a little bit of a break. It's been great to recharge. And then I leave again in a couple of days for a quick weekend of shows.
Yeah, it's the 17th, so that's a week. You've had a week off.
How are you, Carissa?
I'm great. I just finished, I got to do a show as part of at Wonderground in Las Vegas. And then I did a show at the Peacock with, oh my goodness, with Rudy Kobe and Pat Hazel and Brian Brushwood and Dansberry and am I missing anybody? Oh, David Kay was there and Lovick was there helping.
John Lovick?
Yeah. Helping out with the coin trick for Pat Hazel. And it was just like a super fun adventure. And I've never met the pitchers before and they were really fun.
No, that's great.
So it was great. And then I got to come here and keep an eye on Bowie and work at the castle and do another week at the castle. So that's my third week in like a little over a year, which is pretty great. And then since then, I've flown back to Canada. I did a bunch of shows in Canada and I tried to get my business a little bit more coordinated. And now I'm back here and it's great.
Great.
Yeah. What I love and hate about January is that you're like standing on the precipice of your whole year.
Yeah.
And you're organizing it and you're making decisions. Mm-hmm. And so it's both very stressful because you have to make choices for the rest of what feels like the most important part of your life. But also it's exciting as you're looking at it going, wow, look at the fun year I'm going to about to have. Maybe.
Speaking of a fun year, it is now changed to be delivered by the end of the day. Listen, everyone, I've been waiting on this delivery from Home Depot. Here's the story. 2 days ago, ordered a big order from Home Depot to move into my new home. Ordered this really cool, very expensive sensored trash can delivered to the front of my house. I didn't notice that it was here for an hour, then got a little ding ding that told me it was here. Guess what? It's gone. Got stolen. Then, I've been just sitting waiting on this desk that was supposed to be delivered between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. It's 4:38 p.m. right now. And I just refreshed the page and it's changed its delivery time to by the end of the day. Which is what time? What time do they stop delivering? Is it 8 p.m.? It's 8 p.m. Okay. Maybe we should not cut. We should cut that. We're not going to, but that's, I'm going to think about it. Anyway, I'm stressed. Okay, keep going. What are we talking about today?
Well, actually, I think this is one of my, I'm most excited about this episode. So, presumably the last episode you listened to is the last episode we put out, which was the sexual assault episode. I think we should say that that was recorded a while ago.
Yes. Kind of not too long after we spoke with Lily von Stepp.
Yeah. Yeah. Within the same week.
Yeah.
And it took us a while to put it out because we kept thinking, when is the right, we don't want to send it out at Christmas.
Yeah. So what we decided to do is start your 2019. Talks of sexual assault.
And I will say the response from that has been fantastic. And we're so grateful that so many of you have messaged us to say it was helpful. And, you know, just kick off your convention season with a little context and, you know, something helpful. And, but in the process of doing all that, Kayla and I have been chit-chatting a lot about stuff. And we should, I think it was Gary, there's a few people who have messaged us who were in reference to some numbers, which is what we're talking about today. Some numbers and ratios of a female representation for a few different things online. So pointing out that there's a few online resources for magic that have very few or no women. There are some conventions this year that have very few or no women present. And we do read all of the comments, all of the messages that come into us. We don't always respond to all of them because it's a lot. But know that we read 100% of them. And we think about it. We take into account what you guys have said. And so this has been percolating for a couple of months.
Yeah, and I want to give a specific shout out to Gary Meyer, who Gary, I know you're listening, and I haven't responded to your emails. Thanks for sending them. Gary is really what sparked sort of a lot of this discussion because he did notice that there was a particular magic company that boasted about the success of their year, rightfully so. They had a great successful year in their, sent out their annual newsletter, wrapping up 2018. And Gary took it upon himself to email that company and say, "Hey, great success, but wondering why there aren't women or people of color or diversity being booked at your magic conventions." And the magic company did email back saying last year they booked the one diverse human and the year before they booked the other one diverse human that was necessary in order to tick their box of we support diversity. There are also some other statistics thrown in there about like volunteers and things like that, that Chris and I decided didn't necessarily matter in the discussion and the question that was posed. But it's an interesting question. And so per Gary's efforts and share of his efforts, we have started what is probably the worst project of my life.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, yeah. I also want to shout out to David Cantor, who is one of the people that messaged us with that, you know, sort of, I think that was the first person who drew my attention, you know, on Shazam to some of the online lecture series and sort of the ratio of women. But it was a few people that mentioned it. But we do want to specifically mention Gary Meyer and David Cantor and just say, like, we do read your messages. but yeah, so we have started a little project. I don't even know how did this exactly start?
I think you started it, and then I was like, yeah, sure.
Yes. Yeah. That is what happened. Okay, I remember now. Thank you. We can edit that out.
Keep it.
So yes, that's right. So this had been percolating. Kayla and I had talked about Gary's message, and then I like numbers. I like numbers a lot, and in the process of doing Shazam, a lot of people ask us about how many women are there, how many this, how many that. And, you know, we sort of give numbers off the top of our head, and there's sort of a figure that everybody agrees to, which is about 7% of working magicians are women.
This is also a statistic that was confirmed to say the amount of magician members at the Magic Castle that were women is about 7%. So if you take the Magic Castle as sort of a decent representation of the magic community as a whole, 7%, that 7% number has been, in a sense, corroborated by looking at their number. Guys, my desk is here!
Oh, boy. Okay. So, yeah, I'm waiting for the desk. There's the desk. Oh, she's so excited. I've never seen Kayla run that fast. She's running down the stairs. She's going to the front. Is she going to get the desk? I don't know. It says on the computer it's here, but is it here? Is it stolen? Has it been stolen in just the 5 seconds that it has been sitting outside? Who knows? I don't hear her bringing anything up the stairs. You guys, I think it might have been stolen. This desk may have been stolen. It's such a sad day. Unless I see her come up the stairs with this desk. Should I be helping her carry it, is the real question. Maybe I will go grab Bowie so that Bowie doesn't escape while she brings the desk in. Is the desk coming? Bowie's at the door. I don't see a Kayla. You guys, the worst has happened. Oh no, is there no desk? Is there no desk?
Yeah.
I want.
What?
Coffee. Kayla, what just happened?
Oh, the desk is here.
The desk has arrived!
It didn't get stolen today. I'm really very happy. I'm out of breath because the UPS man was like, oh, that's a staircase. I gotta bring it up. No. And then left it there and went home, I imagine, for a nap.
I was doing a play-by-play of whether or not the desk had been stolen.
Oh, fun! It didn't. Guys, it's here. Okay. What were we talking about?
Okay, so, Kayla and I constantly get asked, you know, about how many women there are in magic. 7% is sort of the figure that everybody's accepted. But I think we should say that figure is extremely conservative. Because that figure is built around, like, professional women who have decided to be part of this community. And any community where there's a marginalized party, a lot of people like practice in secret or are interested in secret. And a lot of people who listen to this podcast, a lot of women who message us say exactly that they are magicians, but they don't go to club meetings, they don't participate. So when we say 7% is an extremely conservative number of women.
Yeah, and there's not going to be, there just isn't going to be a way to confirm the number of magicians. It's just not a number that we can confidently acquire because you have to look at magic club members and then how many people aren't a part of a magic club. Like, I'm not, so I wouldn't be counted in that number. Like, there's so many things that you have to figure out that you can't even figure out the number of magicians, never mind the amount of women who make up that overall number.
Yeah, like, for example, at the Magic Castle, I wouldn't count towards that number because I'm not yet a Magic Castle member.
Correct.
But I am a working lady in magic. So,
7% is what we're going to go with.
7% is what we're going to go with.
Yes.
Just because it is a known number, but we should say, for the sake of honesty, that it is very conservative. That being said, that's a number that we've repeated. Because a few people have messaged us and talked about this, and because of David and because of Gary, you know, this was on my mind, and decided to go online and see what available databases there were for online products that have female magical lecturers. So I did a quick overview of a couple of them. We're not going to name names on this podcast, I don't think, as to who's where.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So just so you know, we will be releasing all of this data with their sources, so where we got the information from, and what is actually the source. So, for example, if we look at a specific magic convention or magic online store or whatever it is, those names will be released. No shame or no, like, we're not trying to do anything. We just want you to see where the numbers are.
Yeah.
And then as well, for the people who do run those organizations, they can see where their organization falls within the overall yes. experience. Basically, we haven't even said what we're doing.
Yeah, I know. We're so excited. This is the most disorganized we've ever. All right. It's because we're so excited. So, in a nutshell, here's what's happening. Kayla and I are creating and archiving every single thing we can find that is basically and can be indexed. So online lecture series, podcasts about magic, magic magazines, magic conventions, all this sort of thing, anything where there's more than like five of them, we are creating an index of every single unit. So part of what happened is we have a wonderful woman participating in this that has given us some information. A few people have given us information on how to do this. Is the first step is you have to decide what an individual unit is. So we've decided that a single podcast is one unit, one lecture spot at a convention is one unit, one online video series is like one video with one lecturer is considered a unit. And so that's our unit. And then within that unit, we write down when it was done, what it was about, how many people were in it, and how many of those people were women. And we figure out how that number overall compares to that very conservative number of 7% women. Is the amount of female lecturers present in online videos, in lectures, as part of conventions, in magic magazines, on covers of magic magazines, is that more than the average, less than the average, or equal to the average? Kayla and I have spent the last 2 weeks collecting. We now have a little over 1,000 data points, and it's a little scary. It's a little unsettling what the numbers are so far.
I decided for me personally, I took the more negative route, which is my hypothesis was that there would be less than 7% of women on average involved mm-hmm. with the magic resource. And so far, I mean, we're still really at the beginning of this process. So in terms of 1,000 data points, like that's a lot, but we've also only got 12 actual sources.
Yeah.
The actual resources.
Listed, yeah.
Did like fully dived into and taken apart and understood. And with those 12, that hypothesis is really shaping out to be confirmed. We are considering this on a little bit of a pass-fail. Pass is to have 7.01% of the people involved in the units.
Mm-hmm.
Is that exactly how I wanted to phrase it? I wrote it down. Hold on. Wait for it. The goal is per resource to have 7.01% of the people involved to be women. And that means the people, you know, like giving the magical expertise, if you will. So mm-hmm. not like, oh, there's a woman that's picking your card for you as you show
yeah.
the routine. We're not, this is counting like from the expertise perspective.
Yeah.
So all your if you have your experts in your unit, God, I can't talk today.
We're
Jeff. Wait for it.
If the individual who is presenting in this unit, so basically the person you're interviewing as part of the podcast, the person who is lecturing during this lecture segment during the convention, the person who is the feature on your online lecture series, the person who your article is about, or even your article is written by, if this person is a female or identifies as female, that's the other thing is we're trying very hard to include anyone that identifies as female because that's what actually matters. We want that. We think that if you pass, that number should be 7.01%.
Right. Yeah, we're rounding up to the nearest hundredth, folks. We're giving you a lot of credit.
Yeah. And according to our research so far, out of the, I can say we have 14 things that we've looked at because there's also two conventions that we've started databasing.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, in completed here on the chart we have is 12, right?
Yeah, we have 12. So but I would say out of the 14, we have two that pass.
That pass. We have three that pass.
Sorry, I'll take that again.
We have three that
pass. Out of the 14 that we've kind of considered so far, we have three that pass. And
and they're all podcasts.
They're all podcasts. And all the online lecture series, all the conventions that we've looked at and all the magic magazines have all failed so far. But this is early days. We're still databasing. And ideally, what we would like to achieve with this is we would love to be able to take a realistic snapshot of where magic is right now, where it has been over the past few years, because these numbers speak volumes, and then really monitor this going forward. The IBM has generously offered us sort of a spot, a kind of an article spot as part of the linking ring. And this is what Kayla and I have decided to do with it, is that in that space, we are going to report every month on where this number goes. But in order to do that, we need to start from where we are now. And this is part of why Kayla said this is like the worst thing we've ever taken on, is because I told Kayla yesterday, I have three feelings about this. One, when we're working on this, I feel really excited because as these numbers are coming in, I feel like this is really valuable information. And once we chart it over a graph that's set up over time and we, you know, compare it to other resources, we're going to be able to learn a lot about this. And it's also going to allow us to hold each other accountable in a really great way. So I'm really empowered by what this is going to mean. And I do really like data. There's something very satisfying about looking at all this data and looking at all these numbers. However, I have personally done 10 hours of data entry already.
I had to take a break from working on the magic work with Scott Wells because he has like 470 guests.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, that's episodes. And then every episode he has like 27 guests on because he's at a magic convention going, what do you think? Scott, stop working so hard.
Scott is the hardest
working guy. Stop being great. Anyway.
It's a lot.
It actually, there have been a couple of times that Chris and I have been like, we understood this was probably going to be less than that 7%, but some of them are jarring.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, zero?
There are a few resources that have zero, and there are a few resources, most of the resources that have zero have like under 100 units. Yeah, keep in mind that a podcast is a unit, a lecture is a unit. These are units. However, it's the ones that have, you know, between 100 and 400 units where their ratio of female representation is under 1%. That is what I've been surprised by, is how often that happens, is that that seems very low.
I'm also going to, plant the seed in people's minds that I think age is a really interesting thing here, because there's companies that we know the people who run them, and they're quite young people, like our aged people, who have had zero women. I mean, literally, I'm looking at the number zero.
Yeah, we have a lot of zeros on our list, which is awkward.
Zero women involved in their project.
Yeah.
And that was like, wait a minute, these are my friends.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
So here's what we're going to do with these numbers. This is a long-term project. All of these numbers will be available to our listeners. All these numbers will be available, including all of the data points, because we would love for anyone to go through and notice if we've made any mistakes whatsoever. This is going to be completely transparent as a process. Also, everybody who listens to this will be able to take this list and add something. So, for example, if somebody wanted to take the basic data that we have and then go through and figure out how many people of color are represented or how many people of a certain age range, or you're welcome to build on what we've created. We just ask that you would send us back that information so that we could add it to our resource. But, you know, really our purview is primarily gender diversity. And so, unfortunately, we didn't think it was appropriate for us to manage everything. Also, it's already so much work. But we're going to do the hard work of actually listing every single unit and doing the basics.
The same with on your local level, because Carissa and I are not going to dive into the local conventions and your lecturers for your club and all of that. That would also be really – that's of interest to us. We discussed that would be a really interesting grouping of data to organize and sift through. So if you've got, for your local club, if you've got like the last however many years of lecturers brought in, that would be very interesting. That would be very interesting to us, and we would love to see that data. Please send us anything. Our email, please send it to our email. The Facebook and all of that is not going to necessarily be able to sustain all of our, all of this information. Mm-hmm. Our email is shazampod@gmail.com. Please send that over to us. We're very interested in getting all of this together. So far, what we found is just really fascinating. I think you're going to really love what we found. There have definitely been some highlights and some positives, and there have definitely been some lowlights and negatives. So I think once we get all of this compiled, and then because it's living, it's going to be a living data point forever that we can update all of the time. It's going to be really interesting to see how it grows. What we're hoping is that when you see the information in plain data, there's no really debating the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're hard to argue against.
Yeah, and so hopefully this means that we learn from that. As well as Shazam is going to include itself in this data, and so we are also being held accountable. I mean, right now,
we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's not even, it's not even a contest. In fact, if I added up all of the women that have been featured in, I'm not even kidding you.
Especially
all of the women, especially all of the episodes that we've already recorded and are about to come out, we're almost at the same, the total number of women in all 12 resources is just above the amount of women we've interviewed on Shazam.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
I mean, we are a feminist podcast, so I'd be upset if that weren't the case. I would be like, we're not doing our job.
We're bad at this.
But yeah, that's accurate. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So the other thing we want to say is that if anyone out there likes doing data entry the way I do, I actually find it very satisfying and would like to help, please reach out to us because we'd be happy to point you in the direction of stuff that we aren't doing. If you just send, if you just go, hey, I'm going to help, and then you database something, we might have already done it. Also, we have a very specific format that we're putting things in so that we can hand it off to a designer and have them turn it into graphs and pie charts and things that would actually be interesting and valuable. So before you just start helping, make sure to get in touch with us and we can give you projects. There's lots and lots of stuff that we need help with.
Help!
If you have time. And the other thing we specifically want to say is that we understand, somebody, a couple people have told us, including Lovick, that we, there is a genie resource and a magic law, a magic magazine resource that are, is just a list of everything that was ever written. Somewhere. And so if you happen to be one of the people that has that database or that list or whatever those things were, please send them on to us. If you have any lists, please send them to us. We need lists. One of the things that's very interesting from this is that, you know, Kayla and I have decided to do this, but there are also other fun tests that have come out. So our arbitrary test, is the Shazam test, is do you have more than 7% representation? That's the Shazam test. But in creating the Shazam test, is it Shazam? We've also thought about other tests, including the Bechdel test. So if you've never heard of the Bechdel test before, I think we have described it on the podcast before.
It's back in from our Doctor Who episode.
In our Doctor Who episode.
And potentially multiple other episodes because we are obsessed with the Bechdel cast.
Questions asked. Movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends or husbands?
Or do they have individualism?
Okay, so we...
So basically, what we're trying to do is get on the Bechdel cast.
I mean,
if anyone has a connection to the Bechdel cast podcast, if you could help me...
I want them on this podcast.
I want both to happen, to be honest with you.
I'm a big fan of that podcast. Anyway, so listen to the Bechdel cast. You know what? How about this? Everybody who loves this podcast, message the Bechdel cast. And tell them about our podcast.
Oh, no.
And we will just, with hashtag Shazam.
So sorry.
It worked for part of the problem. Maybe we can activate the audience to get us something else we want.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
So in case you're not aware, the Bechdel test is a test that was created by Alison Bechdel, a cartoonist, which basically asks, does a movie pass the Bechdel test? Does it have two named female characters who speak to each other and about something other than a man. That is how you pass the Bechdel test. And most movies don't pass. And that's it's a fun thing to kind of do, to go through and apply that to other things. For example, magic shows. Magic shows, podcasts about magic, and magic lectures rarely pass the Bechdel test. And so it was just interesting to kind of compare. And there is also another test that Kayla has introduced to me recently, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, this test was created by Kelly Sue DeConnick. I hope I've said that correctly. She's a comic book writer. She's written for like Captain Marvel, and she's created a bunch of her own comic book series. So she created this test which measures the relevance of a female character to the plot of the story. And I think this can be very well put on a woman performing magic or in a magic act. So either mm-hmm. as the magician, as the partner, or as the assistant, or in whatever capacity she is a part of a magic act. It's called the Sexy Lamp Test. Shout out to Alex McAleer for sending this our way. The Sexy Lamp Test asks, can your female character be replaced by a sexy lamp, i.e. the one from A Christmas Story, and the plot still happen?
Yeah.
This basically is, it also helps understand the idea of like a strong female character that lacks relevance. Mm-hmm. So a good example of that might be Clara from Doctor Who. As much as I really enjoyed Clara and I enjoyed like parts of her storyline, most of the time she lacked relevance or agency. Definitely Amy Pond. Like mm-hmm. Most of her time was spent being in love with Rory, in love with the Doctor, or just existing. Usually, like she became, an object to be rescued. That's a quote from magician Michael Feldman, as he is a big Doctor Who fan. Hi, Michael. I wonder if he listens. Hey, Michael.
If you do listen, please let us know.
Yeah, shoot me a text.
That's great.
We have a whole season to catch up on.
So many.
So I think that was like the sexy lamp test is a great thing to judge a magic act by,
mm-hmm.
especially when there's like, oh, there's a woman in the magic act in some capacity. Is like, could she be just a sexy lamp? Or as you said, like a sexy table.
Yeah, I think sexy table is more relevant to magic because often we have women walking on with items and walking off without them. Women standing there and holding an object so that it can be displayed. Often women in magic in a magic act, can be replaced by a table or a stand of some kind. They're just human tables. And or they are being sawed in half or something. And really it's an object to be modified or to, it's basically a dove, anything that's living so that you know that it can't be disassembled and survive.
I think we had come up with a really good way to take the lamp test and put it to a magic act, which is in any sort of duo partnership, magician assistant to magician relationship, whose goal is being fulfilled
mm-hmm.
and then who is merely the support in that goal that could be replaced by an object.
Yes.
So if the magician's goal is to saw something in half, then as the assistant, you are the lamp.
Yeah.
Because you don't move the plot forward. You are merely just existing in the goal.
Yeah. Whereas often, for example, with Kyle and Misty in many of their routines, with Mark and Ginger, there's very many relationships which are onstage partnerships, and you can tell in those relationships that they're partnerships because the goal is either a shared goal or it's the woman's goal and it's being served, it's being assisted by the man, or the power, like there is a shared goal and the power comes from both of them. And mm-hmm. so when you see a partnership on stage, you can ask yourself very clearly, who is presenting the goal? Whose goal is this? And where is the magical powers coming from? And then you can get a clearer sense of how relevant is the woman in this particular routine. Now, we're not saying that, you know, it's just a test. It's like the Bechdel test. It's flawed. the lamp test slash magic tables test is very flawed.
Yeah, the lamp, the Bechdel test is much more easily recorded. You mm-hmm. can say, it's a yes or no question of, do these characters have names?
Yeah.
Well, yes or no. Then it's, how many lines of conversation did they share? That's no, there's really no ifs, ands, or buts around that. And then, is there conversation about a man? That's also a yes or no. Like, there's really no opinion interjected in that, or very little opinion.
Well, sometimes that conversation is one woman trying to get the other woman to kill herself or something. So it's still flawed, because sometimes, you know.
Right. And that's where, like, the other scales they use in the podcast exist. But the test itself being just about that is really interesting. The lamp test is much more subjective.
Much more subjective.
There, I like the idea of, like, it's still subjective, but asking, like, whose goal is being fulfilled and who is in support of that goal, or who shares that goal, mm-hmm. or who opposes that goal, or whatever it is, and, like, looking at Magic X within that way.
The other language that Kayla and I have adopted recently, because we were trying to figure out a way to navigate this, is that often we know a lot of magic duos where, behind the scenes, there is a lot of equality, but on stage, the woman is put in the role of the assistant. And so, you know, Kayla and I have taken to saying magic partnership, but then presenting as an assistant. Because often, even though we know well enough, because we know them personally, that there's a very equal relationship in their actual creation of magic on stage, that, you know, the woman is still presenting the assistant. That's a very helpful language for us, especially when we've started looking at these numbers, because those are numbers that are going to be important for us moving forward as we create this database. And then we actually created, like, another really fun, playful test today, as a joke, which I'm very excited to share with you guys.
Yeah, so we were at breakfast with John Lovick, otherwise known as Handsome Jack, and we created the Lovick test.
Yes.
Would you like to explain the Lovick test?
I would love to explain the Lovick test. A magic resource passes the Lovick test if they have had more units that feature women than feature Lovick.
Exciting news, everyone. This particular episode of Shazam purposefully does not pass the Lovick test.
No.
Because we have mentioned his name more than twice, and there are two women on this podcast.
So we've decided arbitrarily that this podcast, this particular episode, fails, but the podcast in general passes the Lovick test. However,
He's been on an episode.
He's been on one episode.
How much credit does he get for that?
One. He gets one unit.
I just want to make sure.
He only gets one unit.
Oh.
Yeah. He's not. He doesn't get to be on the unit every time we mention him, because then he might actually fail.
We might have to pay him at some point.
So as a joke, we mentioned this, and then we went back through and we found a few magic conventions, a few online resources. There are a few online resources that do not pass the Lovick test. They have featured Lovick as many times or more times than all women combined.
I want to point out one one specific. We're not going to name the store. However, there is an online magic store that features product, something, an individual unit of which you could hit buy, the buy button, and pay money for, mm-hmm. or download for free, whatever it happens to be. You could acquire some sort of thing, basically. Yes, that's the sentence I wanted.
Yeah.
This particular online magic store, in terms of things you could, product that you could download or purchase, there were 11 products, 11, that were created or co-created by women. There were a couple of books on there that were co-created by a woman and a man, etc. But there were 11 pieces of product created by women. And the amount of product that existed created by Lovick was 14.
Yeah. So this magic retailer does not pass the Lovick test.
And I know he's been around for 60 years.
Oh my God, he's going to be so mad at you.
He's not that old. 55 years. He's... How long has he been in magic? I'm going to go with 70 years. I know he's got 70 years
he's
worth
never
of contributing. I love you, John Lovick.
I'm indifferent.
It's fine. That's really... really, we should have swapped opinions.
That's true.
I realize that John Lovick has contributed a lot to magic in his 90 years of contributing to magic, but he has not been around longer than the existence of magic, and therefore how is it that a magic online store of such humongous capacity, I mean humongous capacity,
yeah,
could not feature online lectures, online product, instant downloads, books for kids,
yeah,
more of that product by women than they did Lovick.
Yeah, and so this came up just because, you know, Lovick's a friend of the pod and he happened to be in front of us. But if you, we can look at our list.
Stuff is great. I'm not knocking it. There is no downgrade to what Lovick puts into magic. It's a lot. He's great. How many times did we consult him on this exact project? I mean, he came over last night and I was like, who are these people?
Yeah,
and he went through their entire resumes. I mean, he's very smart. There's no negative to him whatsoever, but what we're saying is he's one human.
Yeah, and when we can do this test can be replaced with a ton of names. Like I'm looking at our list right now, and you can replace his name with Giant Thompson. You can replace his name with Master Payne, Max Maven.
I'd feel better Michael if it Weber. Were Johnny, because he's really old.
You know, I can see a lot of names that come up over and over again. And looking at the numbers in general, those names come up more than all women combined often. So we, you know, we sort of picked Lovick at random within reason.
Because he was here. And we love him.
But, I mean, I love that was a fun kind of thing to figure out. Like, there are conventions that have hired Lovick more times. He's done more units than all women. There are online resources where Lovick has contributed more units than all women. And it makes me excited to think that these are the kind of things that we can showcase as part of this research. So we really want to empower you to contribute in any way you think you can.
Please do.
And if there's questions that you have about this, let us know and reach out. And you know, because as we compile the data, the earlier on that we have people going, oh, we'd like to know about this, the earlier we can make that work.
By the way, in that online magic store, one of the products was out by women was out of stock. I just want to put that out. None of Lovick's material was out of stock.
I will say the thing that was out of stock is my fault that it's out of stock.
Okay, it might be your fault that your own product is out of
stock.
One
of the products was my product.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, because I haven't produced anything.
What? Okay, I'm not going to let it go. You guys wait until you see these numbers.
They're great.
We are only at the beginning.
We're
and then
beginning.
With your help, wow, are we going to have a really interesting database to dive into? Because it's going to be fun. I think we're all going to learn a lot. And hopefully this will reward, can I mention a specific, it's a positive. Mention one specific resource we've dived into?
I
dove into Discourse in Magic, which is a podcast by Jonah Babbins from Toronto. And, that podcast features 10.17% of its guests are women. Some a lot of them are repeats, but I don't hate it because a lot of the guys are repeats too.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, that's a podcast that featured 10%+ of his guests were women.
Well done, Jonah.
Also, Jackie is his editor, and she's a very talented magician and a very good editor, and like she's half of the effort that exists on the podcast. So like, I was just really impressed with seeing that number. I just wanted to mention a positive
because
I don't want to end this podcast going, oh, I just talk about how terrible everyone is, which I mean, you'll see it. Like when you're looking at the numbers, you will see how terrible everyone is.
But I think, okay, yes, I agree.
But I wanted to mention at least one positive. Jonah, the Discourse in Magic is not the only podcast that supersedes the challenge of 7.01%, but I just was really impressed with that number, and I was like, oh, that might be really worth mentioning right now, so I'm very happy.
I also think it's important that, you know, this is a snapshot of a period in time, and really the number that Kayla and I are interested in is the number that we're going to be publishing as part of our article in IBM every year. And where my vision of it is that it's going to look like the stock market.
Yeah.
Is that you're going to see like the numbers go up this month, the numbers go down this month. You know, just basically just us holding everyone accountable and just sort of, and also being able to kind of reward and like, and showcase when things are good. You know, I don't think that any of this was necessarily done deliberately or to be bad or, mm-hmm. you know, people aren't bad people. But now that we have these numbers, now that we're going to make these numbers public, that's when, at this point, if nothing is done, then I will be comfortable being like, well, you knew there was a problem and you did nothing. So now I can be like, I don't like you. But this is a snapshot of a period of time. What is not necessarily as interesting as what's happening now is what is going to happen in the next 4 years. Now that we will have a snapshot of this, now that we'll be able to take a look at it and go, okay, is less than 1% representation in your online resource, in your magazine, in your convention, is that reasonable?
We also, and this is really to Carissa's credit, is that you called a lot of people.
I've talked to a lot of people.
And said, okay, I'm calling you on, in regards to your business. We are doing this. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
And really, there hasn't been a significant amount of blowback. There was one particular one that, like, again, we're not naming names, but just, like, to give you a snapshot of what we've sort of had to deal with is there have been some excuses. Some and some, whoa, far-fetched excuses that just have been comical.
Yeah. I would say more than half the people I contacted were very reasonable and were excited about the project and were and
provided information.
And then a few people were very defensive and uncomfortable and made a lot of excuses. But so I think it's part of why I really want to make it clear, like, we're not trying to call anyone out. We're not trying to set anyone on fire.
This is not
a witch hunt.
No.
We just want numbers because it's one thing for us to say there isn't enough women. There's been one thing for us to say there's not enough representation. It's one thing for us to say these like things. It's another thing to go, it's less than 1%. And should be at least 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, is 7% should be the representation if you want to maintain the current status quo.
Correct.
If you want to be part of the solution, it has to be more than that. Hence our 7.01. Like that's the minimum you can do to move the needle forward. If your representation is less than that, you're pushing it back. Which sounds like a witch hunt, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, at no point, like, neither of us have personal vendettas against anybody or any business or anything. This is merely about education, which is why Shazam is so hyper-focused on being content-driven,
mm-hmm.
Is that we're not looking to shame anybody or call anybody out or make anybody feel bad. We just want you to realize, like, I think you and I are good representations of, like, when we do something that is, you know, for regret time. Like, we often share regret times on the podcast. It's because we had to call something out on each other and be like, hey, you could have handled this differently or whatever it was. And then we share that with you because we want you guys to also learn from it. It's like, we learn from it because somebody educates us on the decision that we made and why it might be wrong. So what we're trying to do is push that forward and say, everybody learn from these numbers, like everybody, but especially the people running these organizations. It's when, as you said, to reiterate, it's when you are educated about the situation and then refuse to do nothing. And that's when...
You might want to take it again. Refuse to do nothing. And refuse to do anything. Can I take that again?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, everyone.
We're very tired.
It was that moment that I realized I misspoke because Carissa educated me that I misspoke.
We're leaving it in?
I mean, I guess. I mean, we're only at 55 minutes and 30 minutes of that was me hitting a desk.
Oh, boy.
How are we this tired? It's 5:30 p.m. No, do you know what it is?
What?
We just ate sushi for four.
It's true.
Shazam is sponsored by Amazon restaurants.
No, we're not. However.
Get yourself some sushi. We are not sponsored by Amazon.
No, but we are sponsored by the IBM. We want to say thank you for the IBM.
Didn't we already do that? Haven't we already plugged this in at the beginning?
Nope. This podcast is sponsored in...
What was I saying that I was supposed to take again? It's when you choose it's to not do anything. What am I saying?
Yes, you said it's once you know what the problem is and you still refuse to do nothing. That is when we take umbrance with you. If you don't know what the problem is, if nobody has pointed it out to
you. What was wrong with what I said?
You said refuse not to do nothing, I think. You did a double negative.
I think I didn't, but I'm now, play the tape back. I want to point out now. Now who's educating the other?
Oh God, we're so tired.
Why are we this tired?
I don't know.
Sponsored by Amazon restaurants. Because when you have a lot of energy enough to record a podcast, shove some rice in your face. Take a nap.
What should have happened instead of doing a podcast about a whole bunch of, you know why
we should have napped.
No, the problem is that we've been doing data entry for a week. That is what it sounds like when two grown-ups spend all their time in Excel.
When you sent me this, but I just want you to understand the reaction, because you sent me an email that was like, I had this idea. This is going to be great. And then I was like, oh my God, this is a fantastic idea. Why haven't we done this before? And then I started doing it and went, this is why I haven't done this before.
This is so time consuming.
I remember when I wanted to relax and recover from tour and being busy and like, it's raining out. You know what I would like? Let's just watch some TV and take naps. Nope. Excel equals rho D plus rho.
This is very time.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. But I'm very curious at which point we lost the reins on this episode. We were talking about data
6 months ago when we released Shazam. Is when we lost the reins on all
totally
episodes.
We are totally sober. We have both had a full night's sleep.
We're drinking coffee. There's absolutely nothing wrong today. With us. This is us normally. Do you know what's really funny? Is like we did that exhaust episode. Mm-hmm. That was just us. That was at like 2:30 in the afternoon, everyone. That was not at 6 a.m. We totally lied to you. That was just us.
No, that is, we were. That's was not a lie. So tired.
It was 6 o'clock.
It was 6 o'clock.
Also, I don't know if I told you this, but I was really excited about, so we did this exhaust episode, and in my hotel room, which was in El Cajon, Southern California, very nice hotel, woke up at 6 a.m., recorded this episode. The wall that existed next to the desk of which I was recording was this thick brick wall. Now, the night before, one of the other performers and I, opened a bottle of wine on our balcony and just sort of debriefed after the show, which was a very fun show. We did a casino show, which meant we got to kind of fool around a bit. I think I might have talked about it on the episode. Well, when we were in the, like, kind of in the room, it was like, wow, this wall is brick. What a random thing to be in the hotel room. So I'm like knocking on the wall and everything. So hang out, I got a little loud wine, mm-hmm. and found out that our producer was in the room next to me. We shared the brick wall. And I was like, ah, shoot. And found out because I woke them up very loud. And so found out that they were in there. Then at 6 a.m., you and I recorded that exhaust episode. And later that day, I found out that they could hear every word I said when we were recording.
Oh,
and that, then I was like, wait a minute, that was a brick wall. The door to the balcony was shut. I wasn't recording like near a window, nothing. Like, there was a brick. No, that wall was literally made of cardboard. Basically, because I asked, I was like, that was a brick wall. And they were like, no, it was almost not a wall at all. It just looked like, I think if I knocked slightly harder, I would have gone through it. They heard every word that you and I said.
Well,
it was great.
I apologize for nothing.
I apologized a lot. I still apologize. I talked to my producer today and I was like, by the way, I'm really sorry for that day on El Cajon. It's just going to be constant. I'm never going to live it down. I feel terrible.
Never forget the El Cajon. Never forget.
Is that from a movie?
No, I just said it.
Oh, I thought it was really pretty.
Oh, never forget El Cajon. That's going to be one of the t-shirts.
Is that the title of this episode?
Never forget El Cajon.
It doesn't make any sense, but.
Yeah, no. I think the title should be like, the truth is in the numbers.
The reason, I like that, actually.
Jeff, write that down.
That feels very Da Vinci Code.
Truth is in the
number. I think that's it.
How is Jeff going to piece together an actual episode?
He should just leave it from start to finish.
We started in comfort. It's okay. Audience, listeners, Shazamazons, listen. We've been away from each other for a long time. Okay?
You've been here for 2 days.
No, shut up. Oh. So Kayla's been on the road. We have not been in the same room for a while.
That was like yesterday when you were like, I missed you. And I was like, you've been gone for 2 hours.
Like when before that, goddammit. So I flew in yesterday morning. I went off and did a project. I saw Kayla for like a minute. Then I left again. Right? We have not spent a substantial amount of time together since I got back. This is the most amount of time we've spent together.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's true.
And you've been spending time with John Lovick.
How many times are we going to mention his name during the show?
As many as possible so I can continue to fail the test.
So we can fail this test. So I think what's happened is that it took the first part of the episode for us to find our rhythm. And then you got really excited that your desk came. And then we lost our minds. Completely. Why?
That feels right. Thank you so much for listening to Shazam.
Is this show getting worse? Did we used to be better at this?
I think we used to not understand how to have fun.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kayla.
Yeah.
I missed you.
Aww.
I did.
I'm with you all day.
God damn it. Just let me express myself, you monster. We have lost our minds. Anyway. Thank you for listening to this very special episode of Shazam. The truth is all in the numbers, you guys. It's like the Da Vinci Code, as Kayla said. We've gone through all the feels in this episode. Kayla, I don't think we can be away from each other for that many weeks in a row, because we go crazy after that. Damn it, I hate that. You gotta tighten that screw.
No one not here knows what you're talking about.
I know. This is great podcast content. Let's take that end again.
That was the end. Hey, do you guys want to play?
We should start to do this in every episode.
Okay. So, listen, as you guys might know.
You are opening a box right in front of your microphone. All they can hear is the rustling of paper. Lesson one of podcast. Don't rustle paper in front of your freaking microphone, Kayla.
All right, listen.
You fool!
Listen. Okay. As you may or may not know, I'm a very large Harry Potter fan.
I mean, no, you're big. You're a fan. The fandom's big. You're a tiny person. Anyway.
You're correcting my grammar?
No, I'm not. I just was trying to make a joke, but I'm too tired. There's coffee on my nose.
I am a fan of Harry Potter largely.
Well, it's got worse. Somehow got worse.
I almost swore. I really like Harry Potter, you guys. And for Christmas, my parents not only got me Marauder's Map pajama pants, a Marauder's Map hat, and a Hogwarts blanket and a Hogwarts pillow.
And away luggage.
They went above and beyond.
Yeah, you were spoiled.
Very much. Well, the away luggage, they were here, and then they happened to be at a store that was selling a lot of Harry Potter stuff. Also, I moved into a house that has a cupboard under the closet. Please hold for pictures. We have to get a storage unit first to put the sub trunk somewhere because there's nowhere else to put that right now. But we got Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit, and there's some fun questions. Pick a color, Carissa.
I pick green.
Green. Okay. I'm going to ask this question. Mm-hmm. And then, wow, I accidentally created social media engagement. I'm going to ask this question. And then when this episode comes out, I'm going to post a picture on the Instagram. Comment if you think you know the answer. And the first person to get it right, I will mention you on the next episode.
Yeah. Also, we're going to start randomly sending people stuff. So
when do we have merch?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm going to post a couple more shirts today or tomorrow.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Did you see the design I sent you?
Yes.
It's good, right?
It's very good. Yeah. Here's the question. Who laces Professor Slughorn's mead with poison in the hopes of it reaching Dumbledore? If you know the answer, don't tell your neighbor. Comment on the picture on Instagram if I remember to post it.
On the Facebook. Definitely remind us to post it.
Thank you, Jeff. If he's real.
If you even exist.
And first person to comment on it, I will say hello to you next episode. Look at that. Accidental social media engagement.
Yeah, she just did that.
This was a bit.
Spontaneous.
This was supposed to be a bit.
You know what's great is that.
Don't look it up, you guys. Don't use Google.
Don't use Google. That's cheap.
Come at me with your knowledge.
Well, no, because we watch All You While You Sleep. So here's the thing, Kayla.
We do.
Well, I do. What are you doing with your time?
Sleeping.
Data entry. Data. Here's what I think is great about this episode is that we are super silly, but also I kind of think this databasing is the most important thing Shazam will have ever done up until this
point. 100%. I totally agree with you.
But So I think I'm very excited about this. I think it's very important work. I think it's going to matter that we have a snapshot of and we're trying to go back a few years. Like we might end up with stats of female representation over the last 10 years. And ideally I'd love to go back as far as we can.
Yeah, we'll start with at least for, like, a lot of the things that we've done so far have not really existed for 10 years.
Yes.
Like the podcasts and some of the online lecture series or any of that. That hasn't existed for 10 years. But in everything that we've done so far, so podcasts, we've done one magazine, two online lecture series. And that's the convention we only did this year of. All the ones that we've done that exist over multiple years, we've done from their inception to current day.
Yeah.
And that will continue to live on. There will be more and more episodes of those sources. Mm-hmm. So we'll be keeping track of that and continuously putting it in our data entry. Wow, did we take on a project?
Yeah, this is crazy. So if you want to contribute, if you want to do data entry, if
contribute.
You want to check our numbers, if you have any lists that already exist, if there's any way that you want to contribute, it's just the two of us and a little bit of help from Lubbock. So
Maybe Jeff.
And maybe Jeff. Jeff did mention it before I got on the plane, like, hey, I might make you do some data entry, so he'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm really happy that we're doing it, but it's often like one of those things that you're like, I am so excited to do this thing, mm-hmm. and then you realize that thing is now consuming your entire life.
1,000 data points, Kayla.
Yeah, and that's like, I haven't even done I haven't even done half of the work. You've done way more than I have, because you've been taking on the conventions.
Yeah.
I've done the podcasts, you've taken on the conventions, and that's a very special beast. That I am not jealous of you for. Hey, Bowie, could you maybe not shake your tail on a very loud poll? That'd be nice.
I got his tail pinned.
Well done, Krisha.
The conventions are a little bit overwhelming, partially because I'm monitoring data, like general sessions, focus sessions, performances, hosts, yeah. You know, all that stuff. But again, the nice thing about this is once it's done, we're going to open this up to everyone. Everyone will have access to this. So they can add to it whatever they want. And also, we definitely want people checking. So if it's, let's say you've got 20 minutes and you have, you know, a schedule from an old convention that we happen to have gone over, you know, you'll be able to go and check our information and let us know if anything's incorrect. Because it's very important for us that this is as accurate as possible.
I think we have to end this podcast.
I think we do.
Because Bowie is climbing on me.
Bowie has been very patiently waiting for us to.
Do you want to say hi to the listeners? You want to say hi?
I'm Bowie.
That spike in volume was Bowie smelling and licking the microphone. So that's all he wanted. He just wanted to say a quick hello. And
we should end this episode
before
we ruin the world.
Yeah, thank you for listening to this very special, genuinely very special episode of Shazam. And remember,
the answer is somewhere in the vast majority of numbers.
Yes. It's not necessarily in the 1,000 data points we've already collected, but perhaps it will be in the 10,000 more to come.
What?
Do you not know that's what we've taken on, Kayla? There is so much data.
Thanks for listening.
We're going to go back to data entry now. We love you. And in Excel. We love you in Excel. And Bowie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This podcast is funded in part through support from the Endowment and Development Fund of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Thank you so much for helping us out, you guys. We really appreciate it.